Welcome to the 23rd edition of HGF's Fashionably IP podcast. My name's Rebecca Field. I'm a chartered trademark attorney at IP law firm HGF, and I'm joined by my colleague Lee Curtis, also a chartered trademark attorney here at HGF.
Hello.
As you know, the Fashionably IP podcast has been developed from the success of the Fashion and IP LinkedIn group, which is run by us and now has over 15,000 members, including many of the leading IP counsels across the world, both in-house and in private practice. This podcast series finds inspiration from the subjects commented on in that group. If you are not a member of Fashion and IP, please find it amongst the groups on LinkedIn and simply apply to join. Also, please don't forget about our Retail and IP LinkedIn group, which discusses IP stories in the retail sector and often also does touch on fashion retail. Now, to be clear, this podcast is not legal advice, and if you have any queries on the points we have raised, please contact us directly at either rfield@hgf.com or lee@alcurtis@hgf.com. Now, as our existing listeners will know, we have started a series of podcasts on what loosely can be described as explaining IP law in the fashion sector via a series of objects. Our last podcast was on the simple trainer or sneaker. In this podcast, we're going to concentrate on the handbag. Now, we may have occasionally in the months to come interspersed this series of podcasts with interviews, and if a big fashion case comes up, then we will in turn discuss that case. However, we do firstly have to tell you a bit about HGF once again. We appreciate that many of our listeners may have heard this all before, but for those who haven't, we are sure that you do want to hear a little bit about HGF.
So, HGF. Well, HGF is one of the leading IP firms in Europe. We have offices across the UK, the Republic of Ireland, the Netherlands, France, Germany, Austria and Switzerland. We manage the IP portfolios of many of the world's leading companies and can do all things IP, whether that is clearing your IP, registering your IP, or indeed enforcing your IP. Now back to Rebecca, IP and handbags.
Thanks, Lee. So in this 23rd podcast, we are going to be discussing handbags and the IP rights which apply to them. Now, why is the handbag important in the world of fashion and indeed world history, Lee?
Thanks, Rebecca. Well, handbags in the present day tend to be strongly associated with women's fashion. However, according to the Reader's Digest, the handbag was first associated with men. According to the Reader's Digest, the term handbag was first apparently popularised in 1900 when referring to a small men's briefcase. Indeed, in ancient Egypt, hieroglyphics depict men carrying a pouch around their waists. According to the Digest, the oldest handbag is 700 years old and is a small clutch bag discovered in Mosul in northern Iraq. The use of handbags exploded with the rise of modern transportation and women working in the centre of cities. Indeed, some of the world's greatest fashion names originate from the luggage sector, the most notable being Louis Vuitton. Handbags today are often one of the most profitable lines in any fashion house's product range. I would strongly recommend that our listeners watch the Sky documentary, The Kingdom of Dreams, which charts the rise of the modern-day fashion market. In that documentary, it is explained that an accessory such as the handbag is often key for a fashion line to be successful and profitable, as margins tend to be higher on handbags than many other fashion lines. So I've highlighted the commercial importance of handbags to fashion houses. How are they protected under IP law, Rebecca?
Thank you, Lee. Well, handbags are protected by way of most forms of IP rights in the UK and EU. Maybe unsurprisingly, the most obvious is unregistered UK and EU design rights. In the UK, this would be by way of what I would refer to as a normal UK unregistered design right, which would protect the shape and configuration of the handbag, but also post-Brexit, supplemental unregistered UK design right, which protects additional design elements such as colours, lines and contours. In the EU, handbags are protected by community unregistered design rights, which protect shape, configuration, colours, contours, lines and surface decorations amongst many design elements. One should not forget surface decoration when discussing handbags. It's maybe one of the most iconic design elements for handbags is the Louis Vuitton checkerboard design, and this has been the subject of many an IP dispute. Moving on from unregistered design rights, many handbags are subject to registered design protection in the UK and the EU. In contrast to the US, for example, Registered designs are relatively easy to register in the UK and the EU, as they don't go through any substantive novelty examination. They simply undergo a formalities examination. Therefore, the design register can be cluttered with registered designs which have questionable validity. The question of registered design protection for a handbag is to concentrate on elements of the design which are distinctive. Do not be afraid to use the infamous dotted line which depicts disclaimed elements, and thus you can concentrate your design registration on the key design aspects of the handbag. Further, generally in the UK and the EU, it is wise to avoid the use of photographs in filing design applications. Line drawings do tend to be better to show aspects of shape which are often a key element of the design of a handbag. One can utilise the fact that one can file multiple designs in the UK and EU, so filing for the whole of the bag and then aspects of it, including aspects of colour and also surface decoration. Also, please don't forget about trademark and copyright protection. Although it tends to be hard to register the shape of a handbag as a trademark in the UK and EU, and we will discuss a famous case on this subject later, because although the UK IPO and EU IPO claim to treat shape trademarks the same as so-called normal trademarks such as words and logos, the shape of a handbag tends to be harder to register at the UK IPO and EU IPO, as they hold that the public generally do not distinguish products in a branding sense by shape, but by a brand name or logo. And then finally, we have copyright. Many handbags are works of artistic craftsmanship, and elements of the handbag can be protectable under the unregistered right of copyright, particularly surface decorations, which often form an important part of handbag designs. So, Lee, I mentioned a trademark case and a handbag. What was I talking about there?
Well, you were talking about the well-known Christian Dior saddlebag case and the attempt by Christian Dior to register the shape of its handbag as a trademark before the EU IPO. Now, Christian Dior argued that as its bag was haute couture, that customers would have an increased level of attention for the shape element of the bag. They further argued that the shape of the handbag resembled the shape of a saddle and departed significantly from the norms in the trade, and this was backed up by internet searches that Christian Dior submitted. These arguments, however, were ultimately rejected by the Board of Appeal of the EU IPO, and the trademark application was rejected on inherent grounds as lacking distinctiveness. Now, looking at the representation of the handbag that Christian Dior filed under their EU trademark application, it does seem that they took our advice to concentrate on key elements of the design to heart. If anything, I think the representation was too simple and made it easier for the EU IPO to reject the application on inherent grounds. Obtaining a registration of this trademark would have been of great value to Christian Dior, but sometimes possibly one should look at trying to obtain a registration of a more complex design. For example, clasps or other elements used on a handbag could be added to the representation to increase the likelihood of the trademark being deemed inherently distinctive. Now, it is possible that Christian Dior may ultimately achieve registration of the shape of the saddlebag handbag based on acquired distinctiveness through use. However, Christian Dior will need to show use has been made of the shape across the whole or the majority of the EU, and that the purchasing public recognise the shape of the handbag as a badge of trade origin. Now, one might think that would be easy for a relatively iconic saddlebag shape, originally designed by John Galliano and made famous in TV shows such as Sex and the City, but it should be remembered that other so-called well-known trademarks, such as the Louis Vuitton checkerboard design, have failed on that score under trademark law and applications. Rebecca, have there been any other interesting IP cases concerning handbags?
Well, one that comes to mind is the Meta Birkin case concerning NFTs in the US. I am sure you are all aware of the famous Hermes Birkin handbag. Now, apparently, the original design of the Birkin handbag came about when the famous actress and singer Jane Birkin sat next to Jean-Louis Dumas, the then chief executive of Hermes, on a flight back from Paris to London in 1984. Jane Birkin complained that she did not have a suitable handbag, and Jean-Louis Dumas said that Hermes would design one for her. We then fast forward to 2023, where Hermes successfully brought an infringement action against the artist Maison Rothschild's use of the trademark Meta Birkin in the United States on NFTs with digital bag designs based on the famous designs of the Hermes Birkin bag. Although Hermes had not entered the NFT market, it argued that it could be hampered by the action of Mason Rothschild, and also pointed to consumer confusion between the Meta Birkin brand and the Real bag. This case shows the overlap between real and virtual handbags in the virtual world. I was not overly surprised by this decision. So, Lee, what are the takeaways from our discussions?
Well, I hope that we've shown the commercial importance of handbags in the world of fashion, also as elements of fashion handbags can be protected by a multitude of IP rights. However, one must give a lot of thought to what elements of the handbag design and branding you're trying to protect when filing design and trademark applications. Further, do not forget the virtual world, as the Meta Birkin case has proved.
We hope that you've enjoyed our 23rd Fashionably IP podcast, and more will follow in the months to come. Please do feel free to follow and share this podcast, and also please do rate it on the various platforms. Also, feel free, if you've not already done so, to listen back to our previous podcasts. And also, please do apply to join the Fashion and IP and the Retail and IP LinkedIn groups. Thanks very much for listening.
Goodbye.